All right, so the message is from Psalm 46. So if you want to get your Bible, open up to Psalm 46. I guess before we do that, I guess it's probably fair to say that none of us have really had what you might call a normal week. Has everybody been a little bit stressed out about something? Maybe you're stressed out about infection. Maybe you're really worried about getting the coronavirus, or you're worried about somebody that you love getting the coronavirus and you're afraid of that infection. But even if you're not, I'm guessing there's something that has messed with your week this week. And I don't know what that might be for you. But you're probably a little bit stressed out about some of the changes going on around you. I mean, when they cancel March Madness, you know things have gotten serious. So I assume something in your life has been messed with, and obviously the way that we're doing church today has been seriously impacted by this. So get on the website, take a look at the letter, if you haven't seen it some other way, to see the different ways that we're handling this. We don't have the Sunday school curriculum out to you yet, but we'll be working on that. But as Jesus said, just as he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So at a time like this, we know that what we need is more than just physical safety and security. We need a word from God. We need to hear about what God says in situations of disruption and uncertainty. So we're actually, today was supposed to be the ninth commandment in our Ten Commandments series. Obviously, we're interrupting that to address our current situation, to hear what God has to say about this. So with the world kind of going nuts right now, and just like turning on the news for 5 minutes is a little experience of turmoil and fear, what does God say? So this is Psalm 46. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord, I pray for my message today that I'd be able to clearly communicate what you have to say through your word today. I pray that we'd all be patient with some of the technical issues and that our hearts would be open and receptive to hear a word from you. Open our hearts by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to try to keep checking back on the feed to make sure we haven't gotten off. But I'll be looking at my notes quite a bit, so I apologize if I miss something. So this psalm, Psalm 46, says that our problems may not be small, but our God is even bigger. And our problems aren't small. And if we get into the habit of thinking of God as like our mascot, like just a kind of a cheerleader on the sidelines to tell us to hang in there and we're doing a good job, instead of seeing him as the Lord of the universe, then when we face really big, overwhelming problems, he's not going to be a whole lot of help. And sometimes our problems are big, overwhelming, like earth-giving-way sort of problems. And I don't want to exaggerate our problems. I don't want to be sensationalist about it. This is not the Black Death. Even if you're over 80 and you do catch the coronavirus, statistically, you're probably going to recover. If you're young and healthy, otherwise, besides the virus, you're probably not even going to have to go to the doctor. So I don't want to add to the panic and over-dramatize this. That said, this whole ordeal is causing some major disruption in our world, and it's stressful. The economy is kind of going topsy-turvy. You don't really know which direction it's heading right now. And if you're retired and you can't really wait for the economy to come back, that can be really stressful. Maybe you've got kids at home and they're home for at least a month and a half, maybe 4.5 months. And it's not like you can even take them to sports or to the library. You're just pretty much at home with them and you're not really sure what to do. Maybe you've had plans that you've been working on for months and now they're completely shot. Maybe you've been watching some of the worst hit places in the world, like Italy and Spain, and you're wondering if we're going to be just like that, where there aren't enough hospital beds to take care of everybody. And of course, we can't ignore the possibility that someone you know may die from this disease. Our problems are numerous right now, and some of them are not small. But our God is bigger. Even though the earth may give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, even if the world itself seems to be coming apart, which at times like this, you kind of wonder if it is. But even now, we will not fear. Why? Because we know that the world's not really going to give way? Well, no, it might. The psalm says, even though the world give way, even if it does, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. So what does God do in situations of turmoil like this? Looking at the psalm, we're going to try to draw out three things that God does in situations of turmoil like this. First, God makes us glad with the streams of his grace amid the disruption. So verse 4 says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. You can be locked down as tightly as you want. You cannot keep the streams of God's grace from reaching you. I guarantee you at this moment, God is pouring his grace into your life in countless ways to make you glad. The question is, have you stopped to notice them? God's not turned off his grace since last Sunday. Sometimes we just need to stop fretting and pay attention to how many ways God is still blessing you. And those could be in small ways, like a phone call from a friend or family member. Enough food in your kitchen, enough toilet paper in your bathroom for today. The signs of spring still popping up outside, same as always. But if you're in Christ, you have the springs of his grace leaping up inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit of God himself dwelling inside of you, pouring out his love into your heart, as Romans 5 talks about. If you have Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ giving you eternal life, connecting you to God, bearing the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, and all the rest inside of you. And what I love most about verse 4, this image, is that these are just streams of the river. I mean, literally, they're called little irrigation channels. Like, God has made little waterlets from his river to send water to you to refresh you. But those are just tiny streams of a whole river. All the ways that God pours out his grace on you are just a small taste of a vast and deep river of God's grace that he has for his people. Just pause today and taste the streams of his grace, knowing that there's a whole river more where that came from. Secondly, God is the one that controls the desolations. So just listen to this. I'm going to read verses 6, then 8, 9, and 10. We'll get to verse 7 next. Verse 6, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He, that is God, lifts his voice, the earth melts. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, it sounds like this psalm was written at a really tumultuous time of history. I mean, Israel did live through the rise and fall of the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian, Greek, and Roman empires. What is a little nation like Israel supposed to do when empires are roaring and kingdoms are falling one after another? The answer for them was to recognize that it was the God of Israel who caused those empires to rise and fall. God is the one in control of nations. And China's a pretty big nation, to say the least. Italy and Spain have been hit pretty hard by this. The United States itself can reasonably be said to be in uproar. So what does verse 6 say that God does? When the nations are in uproar, it says God lifts his voice and the earth melts. Come and see the works of the Lord. What works? The desolations that he has brought on the earth. Basically, it's saying that when nations are all fighting each other and struggling for control, God shows who is really in control by laying waste to them all. And sometimes we have a hard time with that idea of God melting the earth, causing desolations. We like to think of God creating things, not destroying things. And yet God says very clearly and repeatedly in Scripture that he does both. Why? God says it's to make us be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So keep in mind that this coronavirus thing is not out of God's control. On the contrary, in some sense, you might say this is an example of God asserting his control. We like to pretend that we're in control of our lives. We make our plans, we set our schedules, we determine our future without God, and then a situation like this causes desolations to our plans, brings them to a screeching halt. And we're forced to realize I'm not in control. God is. All of our plans and structures that we build are far more fragile than we usually like to admit. And when something like this disrupts them, it's time for us to be still and know that he is God. So questions. Not your questions yet. I haven't looked at those. I'm just assuming some questions based on what we just read. Am I saying that God sent the coronavirus? I'm saying that it is a part of his plan. But isn't the virus causing a lot of death and destruction? Yeah, that's actually what the psalm means by desolations. So is this the like a sign of the end times then? Probably not. God's been doing stuff like this for centuries. This is just our example for our generation of who God has always been. So then is it a sign of God's wrath against the godlessness of the world? You know, people ask Jesus a question like that one time, and his answer was very interesting. He said not to think of those who died from the disaster in his day as more sinful than everybody else. But then he says, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. So what's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that all have sinned and that the wages of sin is death. So when a disaster like this comes, don't go blaming somebody else like it was their sins that brought this on the world. On the other hand, God's power is terrifying, and God does judge sin. If anything, Psalm 46 and our current disaster that we're dealing with are a reminder to all of us that we need to be reconciled to God, to ask Jesus to take away your sins so that you can be saved by his death on the cross and saved from something far more serious than the coronavirus. Where do you stand in relation to him and his kingdom? Maybe this is your opportunity to be still and to recognize that God is God. But finally, the third thing that God does in times of turmoil is to be with us. God is with us and he is our fortress. So verses 7 and 11 are exactly the same. So this is kind of the refrain of the psalm. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. A fortress is some place that you turn to where you run when you're under attack. Where do you run to in a crisis like this? I mean, right now your house might feel like your fortress against everything going on outside. And yes, we should take measures to prevent the spread of contagious diseases. But in any crisis, the first place that we want to run to is to God. He's the one who's really in control, and he's ruling over all things for the good of those who love him. Now, obviously, that's a famous verse from Romans 8. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. But I'm not saying that we can just act recklessly and God will keep us from getting sick or even from dying. I'm saying that this pandemic is not the worst thing that you're going to go through. And if you're not trusting God to walk you through it, you're going to get rocked. At some point, you are going to face your own death. And even before that, God is going to take you through some hard times. Will you trust him in the midst of the hard times? Now, don't be reckless, but ultimately, God is the one in control of whether you get sick or not, whether you lose your job or not. Are you trusting him to walk you through it? Jesus told his disciples, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." And then he went and died on a cross. Now, how is that overcoming the world? Because the world did its worst to him. All that their power could do to him, even put him to death. And not only did he rise from the dead, none the worse for wear, but he actually used all of it for his glory. And if Jesus can endure all of that and come out on the other side more richly glorified than ever before, can't he work all these things going on around you today for your good and for your shared glory with him? This is what verse 5 says. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. And that image of break of day means before the day even begins. Before you woke up this morning, God was helping you and working everything that was about to happen to you for your good before it ever happened. Again, I know this is a tough time. We are facing some significant problems. But we don't have a weak God who can do nothing more than wish us well. He rules over nations, and he is ruling over this crisis. Last week we said that faith turns needs into fellowship. Let this time draw you near to God, because he's the only one that holds this time in his hand. Let's pray. God, this is a stressful time. It's stressful for me too. And I pray that all of us would turn our hearts to you right now and recognize that this is not out of your hands. Maybe help us to see the places that we're trusting in something other than you, and help us to surrender those things. Maybe we won't have any choice. You're causing us to either trust in you or abandon you in very forceful ways. Please give us the grace to trust. And I do pray for those streams of your river that makes glad the people of God. I pray for ways to encourage everybody, everybody watching, and also everybody that's not able to, our congregation, our community, our world. Would you display the springs of your grace? Give us joy, give us peace in the midst of all this. And I pray that we would come through with a deeper fellowship with you because of it. And I pray it in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.